many of you really trust God? When I say trust God, do you really, truly trust God? See, sometimes we say we do, but our actions may speak louder than our words at times. I said, but do we really trust God? You know, back in the day, being a teenager, if you can remember back in, mine was only a few years ago. But, you know, your parents are trying to teach you how to drive a car. And just for them to sit in the passenger seat and be able to trust you that you're not going to run into everything else. That took a lot for them to do that. And then even when you're raising up your own kids, and some of y'all remember, I mean, it's like, okay, I wish I had a steering wheel on the other side. I had talked with a driving instructor, and I said, do you have brakes on the other side? Oh yeah, we got steering wheel and all that stuff. I mean, they have that. So it's important that when you're going through life, now we got to be able to get out of the driver's seat when God is leading us, when he's taking us to where he wants us to go. Sometimes we want to just take over and say, all right, God, I got it from here. But when we're saying that, we're just basically saying, Lord, I don't trust you. I trust me. I'm good. You brought me to this far. Now I'm going to go ahead and do it my own way. I'm going to do my own things, and I'm going to go where I want to go, because this is how I'm going to live my life. So when we trust God, when we're trusting in God, we're basically putting all our commitment into him. We're fully committed to what he's wanting us to do. In Psalms, if you got your Bibles, open up to Psalms 33, 21. It says, in him our hearts rejoice, for we trust in his holy name. Trusting in God will always be a process. It will always be an ongoing process with your relationship with him. Every step of the way, you're going to have to trust him. You're going to have to fully rely on this. All right, Lord, is it okay? You want me to go back to school, Lord? Okay, I can do that. But I'm trusting you that this is the direction you want me to go. You want me to leave this city and go to another state and what have you and do that. Lord, okay, I'm fully trusting you. I'm committed to that. Doesn't mean you're not going to have problems, but I'm fully committed to that. And your Heavenly Father is worthy of your trust because he is very trustworthy. See, when you give him the keys to our lives and stop trying to control every aspect of it, it means you're growing up. That means you're actually growing up. He knows all the things that you have been through, the pain and the suffering that you may have faced over the years, and you may have promised yourself that you will never, ever be hurt again. As some people go through childhood trauma and stuff like that, they've been traumatized, and it's like, it's hard to trust God in those areas because you don't ever want to be pushed in that direction again. But the reality of it is that when you truly end up trusting God, it's kind of like that mug that I had before. He said, we don't have to put back the pieces together ourselves. We can allow God to actually mold us through that fire, shape us through that fire, and mold us and put us back together so that we're stronger and more dependent upon him. What about the endless times that you were picked on at school? And no one ever came to help, but you had to get to the place to where you trust God. It may have changed you for the worse or for the better. I said for some, it may have changed them for the worse. For others, it may have changed them for the better. It got them to the place of where they can trust God. It's awesome to understand that you know that your Father has your back. When you're going through life, you know that God has your back no matter what. He has your back. So why do I need to get bolder? You are able to face the problems in life head on and not fall apart like a $2 suitcase. You get what I'm saying? Has that ever happened? It's like when certain problems come apart and come and arise and stuff, and then it's like, okay, what am I going to do? I don't know what to do. This is going on, and your mind is just running rampant. When you know that you can trust him, he's got every answer for your problem. Every problem that there is in life, he's got the answer to. And he wants to share that with you. Now, Isaiah 26:4 says, trust in the Lord always, for the Lord God is the eternal rock. He is the eternal rock. Sometimes when we trust in things, those things are temporary. It's subject to change. But God is eternal. He's never going to change. His word will never change. See, I'm not trying to be God. In my own kids' lives, I'm not trying to be God. I'm dad. I don't have every answer, but God has every single answer. We go to his word. We find out what it says. I'm not trying to be him. I can't be. There's only one God. He is the supreme ruler over all things and people. God is the eternal rock of our salvation. When you can't commit yourself completely to his plan for your life, it won't matter what everyone else thinks. When you can commit yourself completely to his plan, no matter what everyone else thinks, doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. In Mark 10, 17, it says this, as Jesus was starting out on his way to Jerusalem. Now, we know when it came to the Sabbath, he was on his way to Nazareth. Here, he's on his way to Jerusalem because it was before his triumphal entry. A man came running up to him, knelt down and asked, good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? See, he called him good teacher, but yet God was the only one who was good. Jesus knew this. Even rabbis despise calling humans good because the only good one was the Father. It says, verse 18, it says, why do you call me good? Jesus asked. Only God is truly good. But to answer your question, you know the commandments. You must not murder. You must not commit adultery. You must not steal. You must not testify falsely. You must not cheat anyone. Honor your father and mother. Teacher, the man replied, I obeyed all these commandments since I was young. Looking at the man, Jesus felt genuine love for him. There is still one thing you haven't done, he told him. Go and sell your possessions and give the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me. This young man showed Jesus love and respect by calling him good. And Jesus said he felt genuine love. It wasn't like the religious leaders where they were trying to ask him a question just so they can catch him in his what he was saying and catch him in a lie or whatever the case may be. He was genuine. What must I do to inherit? What must I do to follow you? How can I do? What can I do? You see, that's the difference between genuine people and people who are just out for gain. He was genuine. See, when you come to God, and you can boldly come to the throne of God, you can be genuine about it. God is going to give you the answer. Lord, what must I do? Is there anything in my life that I need to lop out? Where am I not trusting you in this area? He'll tell you. You may not like it, but he'll tell you. So Jesus gives this young man an answer that will truly test his heart and whether or not he trusts in God. God is never going to have you do the easy thing. Ever. Because it's not going to require him. Jesus knew that this young man was wanting to follow him. And there was something holding him back from fully taking that next step. He says, at this, the man's face fell, and he went away sad, for he had many possessions. Does God truly have your attention when it comes to that area? When it comes to your finances, when it comes to sowing, when it comes to your possessions? And Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, how hard is it for the rich to enter the kingdom of God? Verse 24 says, this amazed him, Jesus said again. Dear children, it is very hard to enter the kingdom of God. The Amplified Version in Mark 10, 24 says, and the disciples were amazed and bewildered and perplexed at his words. But Jesus said to them again, children, how hard is it for those who trust, place their confidence, their sense of safety and riches to enter the kingdom of God. He isn't against you having it. He isn't against you having riches. He isn't against you having money. He isn't against you having possessions. He's against those things having you. When it becomes all about you, what area, Lord, what area in my life? Okay. If the Lord said, well, it doesn't have to necessarily be riches. What if he said hunting? What if hunting was an idol in your life? But yet you're trying to use it as the, you know, Esau, You're trying to use biblical terms, I said, but yet God is saying, that has your heart more so than I have yours. What if it's sports? I mean, my goodness, would you be able to stop with sports? I don't want y'all to travel every single weekend, just play rec. How much of that would shock us? What if it's your job? Your job is just taking way too much time away from your family. Would you be able to do that? I just want you to get just a 9-to-5 job and just be home with your family and be that family man for a season. Because your kids need you at the house. And I understand you need to provide for them. Would you be able to say, shut this down and be like, okay, God, I truly trust you in this. I'm going to follow your will. Now, I'm not saying that the Lord is telling you all that, but if he's speaking to you, make sure you get confirmation. Don't just say, Pastor Tim said it. I'm not saying that. In verse 25, it says, in fact, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God. Put it this way. If you have tons of money and you have your personal relationship with Jesus, it's easy to give one of them up. Which one would you give up, the money or Jesus? Who would give up the money? That's easy. But going back to your own personal stuff, could you give up that honey? Could you give up shopping online? All those Amazon packages that come into your house, could you give that up for a month? And allow your husband to breathe for a little bit. Some people are broke and they still don't have Jesus. They don't have one or the other. In Psalm 62:10, it says, don't make your living by extortion or put your hope in stealing. And if your wealth increases, don't make it the center of your life. There's nothing wrong with getting your finances in order to where it works for you rather than you working for it. Years ago, man, I'm telling you, I wish I would have paid more attention in high school. Young people, just learn my lesson. You can always learn a lesson from somebody. Even when they do something wrong, you can learn what not to do. Just be like some people, just do the complete opposite. But they told me, you need to invest. We talked about economics growing up. I knew about it. And then I didn't start investing until like 7-10 years ago or something like that. And I realized, my gosh, I missed 22 years of compounding interest. That's sad. 22 years. Do it. Well, Pastor Tim, we're not supposed to trust in the worldly institutions and in the worldly standards. I said, no, don't trust in your riches, but you have riches if you have them. I had a guy tell me, I said, my financial advisor was, he called me up at the end of the third quarter, and he says, I don't want you to panic. It's not how, you know, the market isn't doing what we wanted it to do, but it's just a courtesy call and stuff like that. I said, I'm not worried about that, man. I said, I've been studying, and, you know, my trust is in God. It's not in my riches, and also I understand that the thing fluctuates and stuff like that, so I can't get emotionally attached to that, right? Because if you're emotionally attached to your money, every single day you're going to be up one day and you're going to be down the next. I mean, that's not how it's supposed to be. So I said this. I told him this. We still got a quarter left. This was end of September. Well, let's just get an agreement that it's going to go up. He goes, I'm down with that. I'm okay with that. Guess what? That thing kept going up and kept going up. Dipped a little bit. Kept going up. Still going up. My only regret, doggone, should have put some more in. But it wasn't about that, because my trust wasn't in what the market was doing. My trust was in God. And even if your things are dipping, the Lord gave me this. I said, somebody had preached this message. I think it was Scott Webb years ago. He's talking about bounce back. The harder the throwdown, the bigger, the higher the bounce. The harder the throwdown on your stocks, the higher the bounce. Tell it to get on up there, okay? So I didn't have to get all upset. I didn't have to, I wouldn't say cuss them out. I didn't have to badmouth them or anything like that. We put our trust in God, not in riches. In Proverbs 11:28, it says, trust in your money and you do what? And down you go. But the godly flourish like leaves in spring. Anytime you place your trust in riches or anything else other than God, it will ruin you. It will ruin you. In 1 Timothy 6:17, it says, it's teach those who are rich in this world not to be proud and not to trust in their money, which is so unreliable. Their trust should be in God, who richly gives us all we need for our enjoyment. Tell them to use their money to do good. They should be rich in good works and generous to those in need, always being ready to share with others. By doing this, they will be storing up their treasure as a good foundation for the future so that they may experience true life. You never have to feel guilty. If you do have it, you never have to feel guilty or have somebody else try to make you feel guilty for what you have and what you just bought or what you just purchased or what have you, or any trip that you're taking. Oh, you're going there this weekend? Must be nice. Trying to guilt you. And say, are you supposed to feel guilty for that? No, you're not supposed to feel guilty. You know, society has told us, and you work until retirement. And then retirement, then that's when you can enjoy life. Man, if retirement is, it's what, 62, 63? 65? And your average lifespan is about 70-something? You ain't got much time to enjoy. Then you got to schedule it all around your doctor's appointments, if you may have them. You got to make sure you got your medication so that it ain't. I was like, do it when you're young. Enjoy life when you're young. Take those trips now while you're able to walk and move and do all that other stuff. And I mean, I'm still amazed at a lady that told me she went skydiving. I think that's one of the coolest things ever. And I won't do it. But I think that's pretty cool. Do it while you're young. Enjoy life. But don't forget to help those that need it. Don't forget to sow into their lives and impact their lives with a few dollars here and there or whatever purchase that the Lord had told you to do. Enjoy it. Enjoy it. You know, it's good to impact people's lives, and it's better to give. It is more blessed to give than it is to receive. And giving is fun. What would you do with $1 million? I have fun giving it away. I have fun blessing it. People think, I said, because I know what I do. Because I, when you study the wealth of the spending habits of the wealthy, a whole lot different than others. Because they make their money work for them. People say, oh, I would buy this, I would spend it on that, I would do this. And so the wealthy will make their money work for them. See, God can open up doors that no man can shut. He can open up a whole lot of doors. And see, we can give the enemy a door into our lives out of Ephesians 4:27. It says, don't give the enemy a foothold, right? I've never heard, and I've never read, maybe there is, I said, but I haven't read it yet, but Satan can open up doors too. But even if Satan opened up doors, understand, if God can open up doors that no man can close, and he can close doors that no man can open, Satan can open up doors and be like, okay, go ahead and take this. You need to take this early. Reminder, understand, even if you're walking into a room that is dark, light works best when it's dark. You are the light of Jesus Christ. Light works best when it's dark. So you don't ever have to get worried about if Satan opened up that door. You're the light. That light lives on the inside of you. Just make sure you don't dim it when you're in that darkness. Maybe you're there because God wants you to establish some righteousness, his righteousness there. Maybe you're there because there's people who are being oppressed in that situation and he needs you to walk through those doors and what have you. It don't matter if Satan opened it. You're taking over because you have spiritual authority. He doesn't have none. He can open up any door for you in your life. The thing is that you have that authority to take over anything that's going on. I'm not going to give the enemy more power than make him more greater than who Christ is, who Jesus is, and that's living on the inside of me. And we do that. You don't have to be afraid of him. You just can't whoop him in your flesh. But when you're being the light that he's called you to be, he can't stop you. He cannot stop you. Light works best in darkness. Malachi 3:6. See, our trust is in the Lord. He alone is worthy of our praise. In Malachi 3:6, it says, I am the Lord and I do not change. He says, he is the Lord and he does not change. His covenant may have changed and how he dealt with man and their sin, but God has never changed. He's always been a forgiving God. He's always been a merciful God. He's always been a gracious God ever since the beginning. Always been. The covenants are different. And in a new covenant, it's even better. And we're living in that right now. He says, I do not change. If you want to know who the Father is, look at the life of Jesus. Because he was the exact representation of the Father. I don't know who God is. God, I want to know. You study out the Gospels. You understand who the Father is by looking at the life of Jesus. Now, in any of that time, he did not put any sickness on anyone. I had a young man, he's not here today. He told me he was going to be here. Stopped here yesterday. And I mean, you could tell he was like reeked of alcohol. And he's like, I'm just in trouble and stuff. And I don't want to tell all of his business, but he was needing some help. So we sat down. He used the restroom. Sat down, and I talked with him a little bit. And you know how gracious I am, and I just sat there and talked with them for about 3 hours. I said, no, it was about 10 minutes. Sorry, excuse me. It was about 10 minutes. But, because I like to cut to the chase. He wants to tell me his whole story and the whole story. I said, okay, here it is, right here. Do you have a relationship with Jesus? And I told him what Jesus had done. I said, we can pray this prayer. And you can confess it with your mouth and you can believe it in your heart. I said, he goes, well, I got cancer too. And I just don't know how my kids are going to deal with that pain. And for me telling them, I said, okay, okay, this is what Jesus did for you on the cross. He bore your sicknesses and diseases. I said, you don't have to worry about telling them about all your pain and suffering that you went through. We're going to get you healed. I think sometimes people just want to continue to tell their story. I'm not that type of person. I hope not. If I am, forgive me for that. If I ever felt that I needed sympathy over what we went in the hospital, I said, that's not the case. I said, God gets the glory because I'm here. Enemy tried to take me out, man. Didn't have it. Did I tell you about that person that came in and said you were going to die? I told you that. She's like, no, you didn't tell it. Tell it. Okay, I'll tell it. Again, not trying to gain sympathy. In the middle of the night, the only light that was on was the sink light. So I'm sleeping, and I got to get up, and I had to relieve myself. Okay, I had to grab the jug. So you got to get on the side and do that. I was already laying on my side. And now my oxygen level, I got 150 liters running in me, is at 95. And then when I went over to the side to relieve myself, it dropped down to 60. So, and then they came in because everything started going off and stuff. So there was about three or four people, you know, respiratory therapists coming in. And then it's like, everything was all right. And I said, yeah, I just had to use the bathroom. So I didn't know you need oxygen like that. So this is why they were coming in. Kid you not, one person came in. I said, there's three of them. There's one in the back. And he just flat out said, you're going to die. And I looked at him. I said, I'm not going anywhere. In the name of Jesus, I'm not going anywhere. And he just slowly backed out of the room and just went. I never saw that person again. I had any sense, I would have got up and DDT'd him or something. No, I would have prayed for him. But pray for this young man. Gave him a Bible. Told him to come. We start at 10:30. You can come on out. Bring your kids. I just don't know how I'm going to tell him. I said, you don't have to tell him. You said, you tell him you're healed by the stripes of Jesus. I don't care what, how much time they gave you, whatever the case may be. I said, listen, God can turn any situation around if you just put your trust in him. Completely in him. He's a forgiving father. So God's nature and character does not change. In Proverbs 30, it says this, every word of God proves true. He defends all who comes to him for protection. That's important to run to him first. Not to people. Run to him first. And he'll set those people around you that you need to go to. That's going to continue to reiterate what he's been saying to you. Run to God first. He'll protect you. In Psalms 118, it says, it is better to trust the Lord than to put confidence in people. It is better to trust the Lord than to put confidence in princes. In 1 Peter 1:21, it says, through Christ you have come to trust in God, and because God raised Christ from the dead and gave him great glory, your faith and hope can be placed confidently in God. You can only come to Christ, come to trust in God through Jesus Christ alone. There is no other way. With knowing Jesus, it wouldn't be true faith in God. I just want you to take about 30 seconds. Seriously. I mean, I know I said this before. I said, but we're approaching the end of the year and into a new season. And we know that he's coming back. It says, as somebody said, it's a hustle mentality. So where is it that you're not trusting in him? Lord, where am I not trusting you in an area? What have I been worrying about? Because, you know, he's already done everything that he's going to do. And all we have to do is just receive it by faith. It's a done deal. Whatever problem you got, it's already done. He saw the end from the beginning. Your healing, man, I tell you what, I was at it again. Y'all know that when I told you when I start reading and I get up and I start preaching, I preached the house down yesterday, right here in the foyer. Preached it down. Lungs felt great. Felt great. What am I trying to be quiet for? You know black people aren't quiet. All right, come on now. We got to preach the fire out in the name of Jesus. Trust in him. Trust in God. Put your faith completely and solely in him and him alone. Don't back down. Never back down from his promises. Don't ever, ever back down. I can't tell you that enough. Don't ever back down. No matter what your situation is. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. You had a pretty good couple of weeks, haven't you, Cam? Yes, ma'am. Very good. That is awesome. God's favor. Amen. Is anyone here dealing with any kind of sickness or ailment right now? You don't have to be shy on that one. lower back. Hallelujah. I gotta get more specific. Okay. What about your sinuses? Yes, ma'am. Healing in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We thank you. Indigestion, we speak to in the name of Jesus. Congestion in the chest, all that phlegm, Father God, we thank you for loosing that right now. You know the body, Father God, we thank you. Hallelujah. Have you been getting any more headaches, sis? Since? Not really. You want me to call you up? Amen. Hallelujah. Father God, we thank you for today. We thank you for all you've done. And Lord, we thank you that we can place our complete trust in you because you are a good Father. You are trustworthy, Lord, and you never change. You've been a healer from the beginning, and you are a healer now, and you will always be a healer, and you're the deliverer. And we give you glory, honor, and praise. And everyone who is here that has some ailment, Father God, we just speak healing to it right now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for joining us today. If you want more information about Westview Church or would like to listen to a previous broadcast, we invite you to check out our website at westviewchurch.tv or like our Facebook page at Westview Church of Hayes.